The reading today is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, verses 1 to 13, which can be found on page 994 of the Bibles. That's page 994, chapter 25. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but they did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, just one notice at the bottom of the notice sheet to draw your attention to. This Thursday lunchtime, a great privilege to have Dr. Peter Jensen. He's the principal of probably the best theological college in the world, of Moore College in Sydney, and he's going to be giving a lecture here this lunchtime on Thursday. You're very warmly welcome. Well, as we bow our heads, let's ask for God's help as we come to his word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather together around your word. Speak to us from it, we pray. Illumine our hearts and minds by your Spirit, and change our hearts so that we may obey what you say. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Who do you think said the following? "I dare not marry. The future is so uncertain." Sir Cliff Richard? Prince Edward? No, it was William Wilberforce in 1801. "The future is so uncertain." And because nothing's changed and the future is still in many ways so uncertain, it's because of that that we make preparations just in case. House insurance in case we're burgled. Car insurance in case we crash. Life assurance in case we die. Well, in our reading this lunchtime, the fourth in our kingdom parables, we see that Jesus says that there is in one regard the future is very certain indeed. And therefore, how much more important it is that we're prepared for that. You see, if we prepare for things we think only might happen, how much more should we be prepared for things here we're told will certainly happen? So in our parable here in Matthew chapter 25, we see that, and around the two preceding chapters, Jesus is talking about the future. He's telling his disciples how to be prepared for what lies ahead. You see, in only two chapters' time, Jesus is going to die. In only three chapters' time, Jesus is going to be raised and will ascend to the heaven and be gone. But what then for these followers of Jesus? And what will the future hold then? How should they be prepared for it? Well, Jesus here gives them a glimpse of heaven. But not the crystal ball of a mystic Meg or the starry gaze of a rascal grunt. No, here is God's King, Jesus Christ, telling what will certainly happen. And the event in question is told us in verse 1, "at that time." And that's the clue for us to look back to the second half of chapter 24 and see the event that has been in focus right the way through that chapter. Jesus has been focusing on the return of himself, on the coming of the Son of Man, so verse 42. "Therefore keep watch, because you don't know on what day your Lord will come." The event? The return of the Lord Jesus. The response? Be prepared. Be prepared. You see, that's how Jesus concludes the parable in verse 13. "Therefore," or "in consequence," or "so then," keep watch. because you don't know the day or the hour. The certain event is the return of the Lord Jesus. The right response is keep watch, be ready. Jesus tells us the future so that we'll be prepared. That's the purpose of this parable, to explain what will happen so that it won't take us by surprise, so that we won't be caught out. So in verses 1 to 12, Jesus tells us the future, and tells us the future so we will obey the command of verse 13. So let's look into the future. What does it hold? How will Jesus' return be? Four things. First, Jesus' return is delayed. And that's verses 1 to 5. Now, as with last week, the picture, the setting, is of a wedding. But weddings then were very different to weddings now. You see, then, back in the first century, it was the bridegroom, not the bride, who arrived last for the service. Then it was the groom, and not the bride, who had the bridesmaids to escort him to the wedding. Verse 1 makes it clear that this wedding and reception is an evening do. It was already dark, and the bridesmaids had lamps with them. Their job was to meet the bridegroom and escort him, to the wedding feast. But, verse 5, the bridegroom was a long time coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. The bridegroom is delayed. No reason is given. I was at a wedding recently where we were all sitting in the church waiting for the bride to come. It was a 2:30 kickoff, and so at 2:40, no bride. 2:45, anxious groom. 2:50, concerned clergyman. 3 o'clock, the bride arrives in floods of tears. The chauffeur's car had broken down. It had a flat tire. Well, here no reason is given for the delay, but delay it is. The bridesmaids fall asleep. And Jesus is telling his followers that his return is delayed. Here the next parable makes the same point. The master is away, verse 19, for a long time. And in this parable, 5 of the bridesmaids were prepared for the delay, and 5 of them were not. That's verses 2 to 4. 5 of them were foolish, 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took their oil in jars along with their lamps. 5 prepared, 5 unprepared. And the point of the parable is that Jesus wants his disciples to be prepared for a delay, not to be surprised by a delay. And a delay it's been, hasn't it? Here, the clock's been ticking now for some 2,000 years. But Jesus tells his disciples to expect a delay and to be prepared for a delay so that they won't be lured into thinking that it won't happen, because that has been the danger ever since for followers of Jesus. You see, at the wedding I took, the bride was delayed, and what did the groom start to think? She's never coming. That's our danger. Jesus is delayed, and we think he's not coming at all. And within 40 years of Jesus speaking this parable, within 40 years of Jesus telling of the delay, the church was going to come under immense pressure to doubt there would be a return at all. Yeah, the David Jenkinses of the first century would say, it's a myth, you know. It's not literal, all this talk of a return. You just turn on to 2 Peter. That's page 1224. 2 Peter chapter 3. And just look with me at verse 3. Peter probably writing within 40 years of Jesus having spoken this parable to him. And he says this first of all. Verse 3, you must understand that in the last days, that's now, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming that he promised? Where is it? But you see, Peter has understood what Jesus taught back in Matthew 25. Peter has understood that there would be a delay. And more than that, in this chapter, Peter gives the reason for the delay, because it's a good question to ask, isn't it? Yet why 2,000 years? Why hasn't Jesus come back yet? Why has it taken so long? Well, Peter says it's not because he's forgotten. It's not because he's slow. Verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. You see, Jesus hasn't come back yet to give people time to repent, to turn round their life to God. And as John Chapman, who some of you will know, says, if you're a Christian here today, well, aren't you glad Jesus didn't return the night before you became a Christian? Aren't you glad there was a delay long enough to let you in? And if you're not a Christian here this lunchtime, well, the reason for this delay is to give you time. The delay is God's patience. The return is delayed, and Jesus says, be prepared for it. More than that, back in the parable, if you'll turn back to that, he says it's foolish not to be prepared for it. It is foolish to be unprepared, as we'll see in a moment or two. The return is delayed. Let me say, it is a great folly to think that a delay means it won't happen. It's temporarily postponed, not finally cancelled. Here, last Saturday, the Rugby World Cup semi-final, the decent one to watch, between France and South Africa, in Durban, it was delayed. But it was always going to take place. It was always going to happen. But it's very easy for us to start thinking Jesus' return will never happen. And that could lead us to unpreparedness. And that would be foolish. The return is delayed. Second, Jesus' return is sudden. It is sudden. The delay in verse 5a leads in verse 5b to the bridesmaids being asleep. Ah, and who could blame them? Yeah, they'd probably been at the hairdresser's early that morning. They'd probably been excited all day. They've still not had any supper. And by midnight, they're out for the count. But verse 6, it's at midnight that the cry rang out, here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Suddenly they come too. They rub their eyes, they wake up, and they get up ready to meet the groom. Then all the virgins, verse 7, woke up and trimmed their lamps. Now, the bridegroom is delayed, but he certainly comes. He suddenly arrives. And in verse 13, as Jesus concludes the parable, he makes the same point. Therefore keep watch, because you don't know the day or the hour. It's sudden. Indeed, that has been the idea that has run like a refrain through the last chapter, like a letter through a stick of rock. Just look at verse 42. Therefore keep watch, because you don't know on what day your Lord will come. Verse 44. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Verse 50. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, at an hour he is not aware of. You see, if some people's danger is they don't consider it could happen at all, other people's danger is they don't think it could happen any time. And I wonder how many of us really believe it could be any time. That Jesus could come back this year, this month, this week, tonight. Intellectually, we assent to the doctrine of Jesus' return. It will happen sometime. We know that. But we don't believe it could happen any time. In 1708, Parliament passed an act fixing the date of Easter until 2299. If you want to know how to find it out, it's at the front of the prayer book. It's been fixed until then, by law. Hardly expecting a return at any time. I remember a French teacher we had at school. He used to come into the classroom at the beginning of the lesson. He used to set some work to be done, and then he went off to the staff room to watch the test match. He was a fierce man who punished misbehaviour severely. Well, the temptation always was to chatter away and muck about while he was absent. But you see, sometimes he came back after just 2 minutes. Sometimes it would be 32 minutes. And so because his return could come at any time, the class behaved. Here in Matthew chapters 24 and 25, Jesus, here in Matthew's record in his gospel, is giving his last teaching to the disciples. And the main thrust of it is that they should expect, despite delay, a sudden return. Jesus is saying this so that a dominant feature of the consciousness of the church will be to expect his return. That there will be a keen expectancy for the second coming. And yet 2,000 years later, it's hardly part of the consciousness of the church at all. We've absorbed the worldview of the materialists, the secularists, and the humanists. This world is all there is, so we better make the best of what there is. The here and now is the true reality, so we better experience that. But Jesus is teaching that there's another dimension, one that you can't touch with your hands, one that you can't see with your eyes, one that you can't hear with your ears. It's outside our physical senses, that there is a heaven from which one day Jesus will come. One day. Any day. Suddenly, while quite literally the bridesmaids were asleep, the bridegroom came. The return is delayed, so be prepared. The return is sudden, so be prepared. Third, Jesus' return divides. You see, from now on in the story, we see that the preparedness or otherwise of the bridesmaids has serious consequences. In verse 7, all the bridesmaids rise to their feet. But for 5, the flame has begun to fade, the light has begun to dim, and the oil has begun to run out. These are the 5 who were unprepared for the delay. Verse 3, they took no spare jerry can of oil with them. Well, now their folly is exposed. It comes home to roost. The others can't lend them any, verse 9, so they're to go themselves and buy more oil at midnight. And in a culture that hadn't heard of all-night petrol stations or 24-hour 7-Eleven shops, this is going to take some time. And so, verse 10, while the foolish bridesmaids are still at the shops, the bridegroom arrives. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet. You see, the coming of the bridegroom separates these 10 bridesmaids into 2 groups. And the division is clear, and the issue that divides them is clear. You see, at one level, all these bridesmaids would have looked the same, wouldn't they? They've all been asked to be bridesmaids. They're all wearing the same Laura Ashley dresses. They've all got the same bouquets. They've all got the same lamps. So similar, but so different. For what separated them was whether they were prepared for the groom's arrival, whenever it came. So notice verse 10, it's those who were ready who go into the wedding banquet. And harsh as it may appear to us, Jesus labels those who are prepared wise and those who are unprepared fools. The unprepared are foolish not to be ready. And the point Jesus is making is clear. Being prepared for his return is important. It has consequences. And being unprepared is being foolish. You see, at his return there will be a separation, a dividing of people into 2 groups. And it'll be the big issue that will separate us, whether we're prepared for his return or not. And notice how God makes his assessment here of foolishness. You see, it's so different to what you and I describe as foolishness. Wisdom and folly in God's eyes has got nothing to do with how far up the ladder you are, how good a degree you obtained, or how intelligent you seem. It's all to do with this readiness for Jesus' return. God thinks someone who's not ready a fool, and someone who is ready, wise. You see, the 2 groups are just the well-prepared and the unprepared. And that's part of the shock of this story. There are only 2 groups. The division only goes 2 ways. It is clear-cut. No fence to sit on. Now, that's been, again, the same right through Matthew's gospel. We're either wheat or tares, sheep or goats, wise or foolish. You see, the return of Jesus, it's delayed, so be ready. It's sudden, be ready. It divides, be ready. And then lastly, Jesus' return excludes. For most of us, it matters, doesn't it, what others think of us? Have you ever noticed that? It does matter what others think of us, and we like to be thought well of. I still remember my final art report at school. It was a compulsory subject. You had to do one lesson a week right up to the end of the fourth year. And my final art report ran like this. The saddest thing is, I think he has been trying. I remember being devastated by it. Because it matters to us what others think. But just occasionally you come across someone, don't you, who's so thick-skinned that it doesn't appear to matter to them. It doesn't, they just don't seem to care. Well, does it matter what God thinks of us? Does it matter if God thinks we're foolish rather than wise? Does it matter which group we're separated to on that last day? Does it matter really at the end of the day whether we're prepared or unprepared? Well, the parable ends by saying it matters a great deal. You see, we pick the story up in verse 10. The wise, the prepared, go in with the groom to the wedding banquet, which, as we saw last week, is a picture of heaven. We saw last week that the Old Testament prophets had heralded a banquet for God's people with God's King, the Messiah or Christ. Here in verse 10 is a picture of God's people enjoying the banquet with his son, the bridegroom. But it doesn't end there, notice. Verse 10b, the door was shut. Shut. Closed to others. Verse 11, later the others also come. Sir, sir, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, I tell you the truth, I don't know you. You see, the unprepared, the later excluded. They never enter the marriage feast. They're shut out and kept out. And notice, nothing they can do after the bridegroom has come can make any difference. Almost certainly by verse 11, they've got more oil. They've probably got two spare jerry cans now. But there's nothing they can do. The door is closed and it stays closed. You see the point? It does matter. It does matter that we're not prepared. It does matter if God thinks we're fools. It does matter which side of the divide he places us. Because if we're unprepared, if we're fools, if we're placed that side, we'll be excluded from the wedding feast, from his heaven. And there will be nothing then that we can do to change things. Now, there'll be no purgatory where we can work our way in. There'll be no disembodied state where we'll somehow have a second chance. We'll be excluded. Oh, a God of love. A God of love. He'll never do that, is the liberal's cry. But you see, it's precisely because he's a God of love and will do that, that he sent the Lord Jesus to tell us and warn us. Why do you think the Lord Jesus spends the last two chapters of his teaching in this gospel to tell us? It's precisely because he loves us. He tells us the future so that we won't be unprepared. You see, a certain future is told to encourage the right response. The return of Jesus is to induce preparedness. This delayed, this sudden, this dividing and this excluding return is meant to lead us to obey verse 13. Therefore, keep watch, because you don't know the day or the hour. Be ready. Be prepared. And the question we've got to ask ourselves this lunchtime is, are we? Are we ready? Are we ready? But what does it mean in practice to be ready? And how can I know that I am ready? Well, Jesus knows that those will be our questions, because those are the very questions that he'll answer in the parable that follows, that we're going to study next week. He'll tell us how to be ready and how to know whether we are ready. But I can't preach this sermon and leave it there. Because we can't wait until next week to discover how to be ready, some of us. Because if this parable's taught us anything, he could come back before next week. So let me encourage you, if you know that you're not ready, and you take seriously that this return could be at any time, well, pick up one of these booklets that I've left on the table at the back by the door. Just pick one up, take it home, read it. It explains how to put ourselves right with God so that if he returned tonight, we'd be those who were ready and would enter the banquet. Let's pray as we close. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in your love you sent the Lord Jesus not just to die on the cross for us, but to warn us and to tell us of the future. Thank you that one day the Lord Jesus will return and take those who are his into his banquet. And we pray that you might give us grace this lunchtime, that we may be those who are prepared, those who are ready for the return, so that whenever it is, we may be those who enter the banquet. Have mercy on us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.